This upcoming concert season will be all about the boots, and Tecovas is your stop for the best in Western style. Tecovas has seasonal and limited edition offerings this spring and summer, including men's and women's boots, apparel, hats, bags, and more. All Tecovas boots are made by hand in a time-honored tradition with timeless styles that are always on trend. And Tecovas has first wear comfort with little to no break-in period. It's hard to find this level of comfort paired with this level of style. Stop by your local Tecovas store, have a complimentary drink or two, that's WCB style, and shop new styles. The smell of fresh leather and friendly staff are at your service. Many stores even have leather custom branding to make your boots truly personalized. And with regular live music and events, there's no in-store experience like it. If you can't make it into a store, just visit tecovas.com. That's T-E-C-O-V-A-S.com. They offer free shipping on all boots, as well as free returns and exchanges, and ship right to your door. Go to tecovas.com and find your new favorite pair of boots today.
Fishing like a local isn't just about catching fish. It's about connecting with the environment and the people who call it home. It's about hearing the stories and traditions that have been passed down for generations and sharing unforgettable moments with the people you meet along the way. Fishing like a local is having an experience that stays with you forever. And with Fishing Booker, you can experience it too, no matter where you are. Discover your next adventure on Fishing Booker.
Welcome back to the Paddle and Fin Podcast Network. We're brought to you by Pelican, built tough for all situations. Go to pelican.com. Yak Gadget, for all your fine kayak fishing accessory needs, go to yakgadget.com. Eastport Marina, on the beautiful shores of Dale Hollow Lake, for all your lodging, kayaking, and fishing needs, go to eastport.info. Now let's get this show started.
What's going on, everybody? Welcome back to The Reel Down. As always, I'm your host, Jimmy. Got Mr. Dan Perry with me like normal. What's going on, dude?
What's going on, man?
Not too much. Dude, your headphones are like throwing me for a loop. I've never seen you wear them.
Yeah, they look so small on this giant head.
I thought they looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I feel like mine look a little large. They're not too bad. Well, that's cool. I feel like it's like that's your setup. Now you got your mic, got your background, got your headphones.
Well, I've had the headphones. I just never
wear them.
I don't know how long they're going to last, how long the charge is going to go. But, well, you had one of the other guys put on his, so I figured I'd put on mine.
Yeah, it definitely. I don't know about like yours. Mine mic monitor, so I can hear myself in them. Mm-hmm. And that I feel like I don't yell as much because I can tell how loud I'm being.
Mine don't do that.
I don't think it's actually my headphones. It's my interface that does it because it's got a little mic monitoring knob. It's all that fancy shit, but it works. But yeah, so what's been up with you, man? Anything new?
Just still rigging up that damn Hobie. Spending all my money on that.
Did I feel you? I thought I had mine limited dialed in, and I had to pull my Garmin off and take it back because the transducer like stopped reading on the left side.
Oh, really? Wow.
But Cabela, before I even had to get in contact with Garmin, Cabela's was like, no, we'll swap it. But I had to take the whole freaking thing apart and I had the whole boat wired up in the hole. So I stripped that got the new unit, I was about to start putting it in, got a new motor set up. So I had to strip the rest of the wiring out of the boat. So it's out there. The motor wiring's done. I haven't even started on the graph, but I think I'm gonna do that tomorrow afternoon. But I feel you. I usually like rigging boats. I'm kind of sick of it. This is like the third time I've rigged that boat. I'm just over it.
Yeah, I've done it so much in the last few years that I've went through so many boats that I kind of don't want to do it for a while.
Do you have like a box of spare parts yet?
Oh, dude, I've got two shelves of them.
Dude, I've got like a tote out in the garage, and then I've got a clear tote in here. And the clear tote in here is just like the small stuff like Yak Attack, Yak Gadget, Ramball. And then, like, outside is, like, power pole mounts and all sorts of... I have shit everywhere. I need to sell some stuff.
I promise. I did something to that Hobie that nobody else has done. Because I like to have my net, like, right in front of me. Mm-hmm. And I have this, like, $100 setup, but I already had all the parts. It's, like, the ram ball that goes into the sail hole. And a 1-inch ram ball for the sail hole. I did have to buy that. to a 1-inch ram mount arm to another ball mount and then to a roto grip. And so I have the ball and the roto grip connected. So on top of my front hatch going right in front of my pedal drive, I'm going to have my net.
Nice.
On all the old towns. And I haven't seen anybody else do that with the Hobie, but I just happen to have all them parts. Like, nobody else would do it because they don't have all those parts.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've only seen the cell hole used for like camera mounts, and yeah. I think I've seen Steve Owens had done like a ram ball. He did like a piece with a ram ball, and that's where his graph used to be. But that was before people were doing the H rail across the front.
Yeah,
well, that's pretty cool. I've seen, I'd like to see that.
I've seen like one person do something with a net up there, but it was different. But yeah, but we'll see how I'll take a net out Saturday whenever I fish a charity event. So we'll see how it goes.
Hell yeah. Well, we took another step back a couple of weeks last week. If everybody tuned in, we had Alex Rudd on. That was a fun show. Real cool, interesting YouTube guy. We wanted to step back and hit the KBF on San Vicente out in Cali again, because one of our own hosts here had a really good weekend, and then we set this up, and unfortunately he's got a couple things going on, so he may pop in and out. But we did go ahead and get the day one winner, Tim O'Connor, and actually Shane just popped in, so here we go. We got day one winner Tim, day two winner Shane, and the Pro Series winner Dominic. What's going on, guys?
What up?
Thank you for being on the show.
What's up, guys? Can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. You just wake up?
It looks like it.
I did just get a massage, to be honest.
Oh. Oh, yeah, I got family stuff going on. He's over there getting a massage.
No, I did. I got my kid with me, and we're going to get food, and so I'm kind of playing dad mode right now. I'm sorry that I couldn't
get it all organized, but it's all
where'd you get a massage with your kid?
Not with my kid.
Did y'all get massages like side by side?
No, dude,
is that
no.
Some California shit? I don't know about.
No.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate everybody giving us the time to have you on here. I know Shane's, you know, busy being a dad, and when we first popped Dominic on, he was driving down the road because he's chasing the dream and fishing every second he's got.
Driving it, backwards.
Yeah, he was driving backwards. Thought we was going to have our first wreck on camera. Get those clickbait, get those ratings going. But well, what's going on, everybody? How's everybody doing?
Doing good.
Doing good. Yeah.
Heck
good.
Yeah.
Hanging in there. We got kind of a little bit of a lull between like the bigger events out here, so we're kind of waiting till Otay hits at the end of June. We got a local club event coming up next weekend down at San Vicente again. And Dominic and Tim paid me not to come, so I can't make it that weekend. I'll let them take it, but no, that's pretty much that's kind of what we got going on down here in SoCal for the next couple months. There's kind of a lull between big events, so.
Isn't Otay spelled O-T-A-Y?
Yeah.
Every time I see it, that's the thing. Otay.
I'm not the only one.
I'll never see it any other way now. I didn't know it was spelled that way, so that now that's it. Well, while we have Shane, the questions I was going to hold over for the end, I want to talk about now since we're all here.
Okay.
I want to know what your thoughts are as far as like the big trails and the lack of, you know, the big national events on the West Coast, because we've seen how kind of the West Coast, I don't want to say gets kicked to the curb, but, you know, there hasn't been much out there as far as the, you know, the big three. You know, or do y'all take that as like you're upset about it? Or, you know, like I know my state, we don't really care if we don't get any of that. You know, it's a very like localized state where the local clubs is where it's at anyway. Like, what's y'all's thoughts on that? And Shane, you can start because I know you're short on time.
You know, Jimmy, I think that was kind of one of the biggest reasons why the ABA and like why we kind of started the whole Ironman series is to kind of fill that void for at least the time being and kind of bring something out here to the West Coast that, you know, like a full 2-day series, you know, because the Ironman's 2 days. It's a $250 buy-in. So we kind of brought something kind of ourselves out here that's kind of unique to the West Coast. And I feel like it's been, we've had, you know, really good feedback from a lot of anglers. It's our first season, so we're not expecting to get, you know, the 100-plus signups at our first season with it. But I feel like a lot of it had to do with, you know, lack of participation in the past, some scheduling conflicts as well with the bigger series in the past. And I feel like moving forward, hopefully, if Hobie and Bass, you know, decide to come back, because KBF is still here, but if those two series decide to come back, hopefully they could reach out to, you know, whoever's involved at the area that they're going to and kind of make sure that there's no big conflicts. And I think we can do well. I know that we had the Native event come out here and, you know, we had over 100 anglers at that, or just at 100 anglers, which was good to see.
Very cool event too.
Yeah. And I feel like we've got a lot more fresh blood and a lot more anglers out here now compared to like 2 or 3 years ago. I mean, I just hit the scene like 2 or 3 years ago. There's a lot of guys that are like 2 or 3 years in right now. I mean, Dominic just came in just this past year, and there's just a lot of new faces, a lot of hungry, you know, anglers that are looking for that steeper competition. So I think if they come back, I think we'll be able to hit that triple digit mark a little easier than before.
I definitely think you're spot on with that. I've noticed, just because we cover all this stuff, it seems like there's way more names in Cali that are participating. And, you know, I feel like that maybe they should have, like, the other, you know, National Trail should have stuck with it a little bit, because maybe the big national end of it hadn't really caught any traction yet. As it now, it seems like it's all of it's getting taken very seriously out there. I mean, y'all, like Shane just said, y'all started a whole nother series to fill that gap, which right there is a obvious statement that, no, we want this. But what about you, Dominic? What are your thoughts?
Oh, go ahead. It seems like it's tough too, because you take away all motivation for Angler of the Year, for, you know, the things that usually keep people, you know, tied to a trail too. Whenever you only do one event a year out there.
Yeah, it's definitely, I mean, I know why they don't, like, there's been the talk of like the region stuff like that. I feel like at bare minimum, if we have our own thing going here, they should at least have a Western region, you know? I mean, just because, I mean, California is just so far away from all the rest. I mean, even if you're coming to fish the Midwest, that's a freaking trip. Like, that's not a 3 hour drive or 6 hour drive like it is from, like, if I'm going from, like, I can go from here to Texas and, you know, 9.5 hours, here to South Florida in 8 hours. I mean, it only took me 9 hours to get to La Crosse. I mean, y'all don't have those options for real. Not to compete at any of these other locations, really, that any of these big events show up.
Another thing too, you guys, to kind of keep in mind is that, and not a lot of people, I don't think, have really, like, recognized this, but Hobie is the ABA and the Ironman's title sponsor. I mean, they've given us 2 PA 14 180s, and, you know, they've sponsored the ABA pretty heavily, and they have a great relationship with the guys over at the ABA. And Morgan Prominence is our main point of contact, and he, you know, he's pretty much one of the head guys over there at Hobie. And so it shows that Hobie is maybe dabbling in the waters to kind of see how the ABA runs it out here, because I think, and this is one thing that I told Morgan and I told the guys at the ABA directly, our bodies of water out here don't really, how do I say this? Our bodies of water are going to be tough for us to pedal and paddle. We got really big, windy, open reservoirs, and to get 100 anglers to sign up, I would say it's more of the restriction on the motor too, just a little bit, not the whole thing, but a little bit has to do with the restrictions on the motors, because it would be really hard for even myself, you guys, like, and I'm, you know, one of the most competitive, like, wanting to make a national name for myself kind of anglers out here, and even myself would kind of be a little taken back if you told me that I couldn't use my XI3. And it's not because I'm sponsored, it's just because of what I'm really comfortable with, I guess. And I know that there's a lot of anglers out here that kind of feel the same way, to be honest.
Well, and then there's, y'all have a bunch of, I think it was when we covered the El Capitan, I mean, it's a single launch, isn't it?
It's a single
and,
launch.
Yeah. And those guys were running, I mean, way, way up that lake to that northeastern side. And I mean, that's a stretch if you're just manpowering it. Because both of the, all, I think everybody we talked to from that was running a motor. I don't think anybody was manpowering that one.
But I think if Hobie or Bass or even KBF for next year moving forward, because I know Chad just kind of talked a little bit about scaling back a little bit, I think you're going to start to see these national events go to the Delta, Clear Lake, Havasu, some bodies of water out here that are bucket list lakes for guys to travel to, A, and B, that, you know, just bigger water. These single launch reservoirs that we just had at San Vicente and like Otay, like sustainability wise, it's just really not feasible for these big national circuits to go to, you know?
Whether you're just looking to stay warm during a hunt or need maximum concealment, the clothing you wear can make or break a hunt. At MidwayUSA.com, we understand hunting clothing has come a long way with more meticulously crafted camo patterns, advanced scent control technologies, and weatherproof options to withstand the elements. Hunters have to wait until their favorite season, but shouldn't wait on gear, which is why MidwayUSA offers super fast shipping. When you're ready for your next system, log on to MidwayUSA.com.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Yeah.
Don't go out to Mead. They got a bunch of dead bodies out there, apparently. the lake went down, and now they're finding all the where the mob put all the bodies.
Seriously,
Yeah, it's fantastic. They're going to find Hoffa. It's going to be hilarious.
For real. I don't know, Dom, did you get in a Hobie VOS? If they told you, obviously they would tell you you can't use a motor, so would you paddle to compete?
Probably not.
I feel you.
At the very minimum, I would probably pedal, but even that, you know, I fished the national championship over at Kettle Lake, and I drove 25 hours, and I went there with the 120 PDL, and I'll probably never do that again. You know, car topping. It's been a game changer having an XI3 motor. I can't see myself fishing without it, just because I can cover so much more water. And like, just to go back, I wish I had a Motor Guide XI3 back then during the championship to 2021 NC, because I finished 37th place, and it was key to cover miles and miles and miles of cypress trees and main lake points, where I had to use all manpower to do that. And I'll probably never do that again, because all these guys have like stern mount, bow mount motors, and they have that competitive edge. I got to pretty much do everything that I can to be powered, or else, you know, I'm going to drain all my energy by day three. And that's what happened, is I burned out by day three. I was even late for day three for the KBF NC.
Yeah, I mean, that's how I roll.
You have a 120 with an XI3 on the front?
No, now I have a bona fide SS127. I have Shane's old boat.
He has my old boat. That's why he's doing so well. That's the only reason why he's doing so well. It's my old kayak, right. And it has a lot of good juice. So, but that's literally the only reason. No, I'm just kidding.
Ever since I got it, I got two KBF monthly, state monthly challenges, wins. I got a pro series win. I got a second and third trail series win. And a second place Delta ABA. That kayak, man, I'm telling you, it's green for a reason. It's green for money.
I like it.
Well, what's your thoughts, Tim? What's your thoughts about all the big tourneys and lack of presence?
Yeah, well, I love having them. They gave us quite a few out here this year between Arizona, Roosevelt Lake, Southern California, and Northern California. They gave us plenty. I wish we'd get more bigger events, but You know, it's really hard for these guys to throw these big events, try to get 100 guys on a lake with a single launch lake. I understand that too, you know. So it's not easy, but doesn't mean we can't try, you know. So I'm for all the events, you know. Bring as many down here as you can. There's a lot of good sticks. So
yeah.
I have a SoCal Kayak Angler tournament this Saturday. Well, we do, and we had to cap it at 70, right? Because we have a lot of reservoirs that we just permit, and we have a few lakes on our schedule that I couldn't picture bringing 100 guys out to, you know.
Right.
So we capped it at 70. We had no problem hitting 70. So if they want to bring the big tournaments down here to Southern California, the guys are down here to fish them. You know, it would be nice, you know, it would be nice to not have to drive. But I mean, it's really good this year, but last couple of years, just to go fish like a single day trail at Clear Lake, you know, it's a 10-hour drive, you know. And a lot of us were doing it, you know, but I'm all for the big events down here. The SoCal guys will show up. They'll make it happen.
I definitely think if they tried again, I think it would maybe appease them a little more for whatever they were missing, you know, when events have been there. So, and hopefully if Chad's talking about scaling back, I hope he doesn't take anything away from that, you know. But I mean, he's talked about scaling back before. Like, how far do you really take that? You know, maybe he takes away two events.
Yeah, no, he's just
exactly. I mean,
No. He's gonna still have like enough events out here for us to compete for AOI. Just having like six, I think, or so in the Western region, and then you guys, you know, everyone. It's not a secret. Everyone's seeing the numbers that, you know, Colorado's getting, that we got down here. Folsom got 20. I mean, that's just not. he just can't. Like, no one could. Yeah. That's why he's kind of the last person out here, but. I think he's going to like go around maybe three next year. Again, this is all speculative, but three, and then kind of pick the locations with some of the guys, you know, just trying to pick locations that are desirable for people to also come to from where you guys are from, you know, Jimmy. I mean, come on, man, let's see you out here, buddy. I know
I will 100% come out there
in the Delta.
You're damn right. I would like, it's, I told my wife, like, we're not doing much traveling this year. Next year, if one of those big ones come out there, it just gives me a reason to come out there, dude.
I mean, besides, like, the reason why we come out, let's just say, like for us, like, when we come out to Caddo, you know, for no other reason than to fish Caddo Lake, right? Like, to fish Gunnersville, like, to fish all these lakes that are desirable, you know, whether far it is or whatever, we just make it, you got to make it happen. And, like, you know, politics and everything aside, I mean, to come fish Clear Lake, I know it's got to be desirable for y'all, and same thing with the Delta. I mean, it's a bucket list lake, you know. So,
for sure,
playing it right and everything. But we'd love to have you guys out here,
dude. Sure. It's gonna happen. I'm coming. I'm gonna bug you. I'm gonna bug Greg Blanchard
too for these things. And some, in the way that I've been trying to angle some of these things, is to fly out there and borrow a kayak.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would do, is like fly my few rods out there and then try to hit up a new canoe dealer somewhere, one of our team members out there, and steal a boat.
We do have the West Coast Championship, and that's in tandem with KBF Clear Lake. So, I mean, if you guys can get out here in August, the 20th, the 19th and the 20th, I believe KBF is the 20th and 21st. I mean, it's a hell of a lake. It's natural. It's big. Multiple launches.
Oh, man. It's a bucket list lake for people that haven't been able to fish it.
We could work it out, Shane. You can fly in the week before, fish my Bass Nation event here on Gunnersville, and then I'll fly out with you, and we'll go to Cali, and we'll fish Clear Lake.
So did you guys put a date on that?
I know August. I've been playing with what weekend, trying to just fit that in. But I should have that in the next, like, week or so.
Yeah.
Because there's a chance it's just going to end up getting kind of overlapped with something, but I think it'll overlap.
I love
people that wouldn't be there
talking about this. Dan's face just stone cold. Like, there's no way I'm coming out there.
I wish I would love to, man. I've been to California. I love it out there. I would love to go. It's just, for me, it's vacation time. This year I fought for 20 days. I've used 12 and a half and I got, so I got 7.5 and I'm going to use at least 6 on KFL.
Well, that's the thing. We're pitching it to you. Like, you know, it's a bucket list and you're like, dude, there's like 15 bucket list lakes right around.
Oh no, here, so. Yeah. It's for real bucket list. I really would love to do it.
It's just one. That's all we got out here. Actually, but you guys got everything.
It's like, how many do we pass on the way there? You know.
No, yeah. I like reservoirs like that, like Berryessa and.
I'm gonna put on mute for just a second, really quick.
Yeah, man, go ahead.
What's the lake with the massive spots? Not Tim's Ford.
That's Tennessee.
New Maloney's?
No. There's another one. No. Oh, wait, wherever the tactical basking guys call it.
Oh, Pardee.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. I think it's Pardee, yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's it. It's funny that all the Cali locals are like, when you say tactical bassing, they know exactly where you're talking about.
Yeah.
Like, out here, all their stuff is, like, secretive, but every time I talk to Cali, and now since they live in Tennessee, like, guys always talk about their videos and they're like, I know right where that dude's sitting. He's just acting like it's something special.
Yeah. I actually knew of Matt Allen back then when tactical bassing wasn't even a thing. He was just a fishing guide and I known him through a kickboat club, Sonoma County Belly Boat Bass Club. And I used to fish Clear Lake 100 times a year. Back in 2007, and I mean, it's incredible. I mean, it's some of the best night fishing lake experience you can ever have. You can have 25-pound bags, 30-pound bags, no problem, just dragging a jig all day.
Wow.
You know, you can throw a big wake bait and just kill them out there.
I'm here on the Coosa River, so I love spots, and I'd love to come out there and catch one of those magnums.
I just want to catch like a Delta or Clear Lake Donkey. Got to make that, you know, God, I don't know how many mile journey I need to make it worth it.
Oh yeah, there is that.
Well, I've driven from Seattle down to here, so I've done it before.
Wow, I can't imagine. I haven't spent like I drove from here to La Crosse in one sitting. That wasn't that bad. Yeah. That's the furthest. You know, that was probably around a dozen hours after, you know, like me stopping, and because I'm a sucker for truck stop food, and like I'll see like a cool barbecue joint and be like, shit, I gotta try that place, hold up, you know.
I was really close to fishing Cattle Lake again one more time, like after the national championship. I'm sold on that lake. That lake has a lot of giants.
That's another one of my like bucket list lakes, just because I love fishing cypress trees. And that's a giant cypress swamp. And it's just like, I've got to go.
Oh my gosh. It's,
I mean, we're probably only like 5 hours and I've never been there either.
Yeah.
I don't know why.
But... You guys, just a black and blue chatterbait, 3/8 ounce, any trailer, and just work the left, the right side of cypress trees. And man, and those duck blinds, there's some big ones in there, like 23, 24 inch bass in there for sure.
I need to get down there for sure. Okay. Well, we're out here talking about everything but the event y'all kicked ass in, and I apologize because we are all over the other stuff. But either one of y'all that want to, give it a little description, tell us about that reservoir. Tell us, you know, lay of the land, you know, kind of water, kind of cover, anything.
Culverts.
Yeah. Well. It's a big, it's a deep, it's our one of our deepest reservoirs, especially down here in San Diego County. They actually raised the dam a few years back and raised the water 117 feet. It's a lot of brush. Oh man, yeah. You're fishing 50-foot trees and you're looking over your kayak and you can like see the tops of them, right? It's in the water. Wow. You're like 3 feet above them. A lot of brush, a lot of rock, and a lot of depth. You could be fishing 10 feet offshore and you could be sitting in 20 feet of water, move an extra 5-6 feet out. Next thing you know, you're in 35, 40 feet of water. It's a very deep, a lot of structure, a lot of brush, a lot of trees, a lot of rocks. So basically you're tying up all day too. If you want to really try to get in and get those fish, you're tying up all day. You're tying up a lot.
Losing a bunch of bass.
Yeah, there's a lot of open water. So you're actually going into these shrubs, to these trees, and to these rocks, to the cover, and you're going in and finding them. You know, that's a very productive way to fish. But saying that, you lose a lot of fish. So it's one of those lakes that you go fish and the fishing's wide open and you bring 50% of your fish to the boat, you're doing pretty damn good.
Yeah. And, it's one of the it's actually probably the deepest reservoir in Southern California. I believe it has anywhere from like 200 to 300 feet for sure.
I know for sure 300. I've marked 300 feet out there.
I was targeting that 300-foot zone.
Yeah.
He had his reel down to the knot and was just barely getting on him.
He had his 401 Tranks. six-pound test.
He's the only kayak angler that's using electric deep sea reels, you know. He's just got the winch button and
flickers.
He was lead coring. He just stripping it. Just 600 feet.
I love it. Well, Shane, just because I know you, I think you're ordering food. Give us just a quick rundown of your day one and two, and then we'll let you get out of here. Tell us how it all played out for you.
Yeah, man. So I honestly am not fortunate enough, I would say, to get practice days in just because of the circumstance that I am in life, being a father, you know, being a family man. I don't really get too many practice days. So the fact that I was able to get one practice day in before this event was huge for me. I was able to break it down fairly quick. I found a jerkbait bite right out of the gate, but I think the size was just a little tough to come by on the jerkbait. Found drop shot fish, Nico fish, and some bedfish at practice. And then on day one, kind of put a mixture of that together and made a couple decisions that I wish I wouldn't have. But that's why I love two-day events, because I'm able to kind of take, you know, obviously a day of practice plus day one, and then really go for it on day two and be pretty dialed in by day two. I only had like 4 or 5 rods in my boat on day two compared to about 10 on day one. So that felt really good going into day two. And on day two, I kind of stuck to a certain area that I caught bigger fish on day one and dissected it like crazy with my active target on perspective mode, and was able to just pick it apart slowly. And I was able to catch, you know, 91.25 inches on day two, and just had a phenomenal day. I mean, it was just one of those days that just everything works out. Fish really clean for the most part, except for one fish. I lost a really big fish about 30 minutes before lines out on day two. And I thought, you know, man, that fish could have cost me pretty deep in the 2-day event. And ended up sticking like a 20 and a half with literally like 3 minutes left.
And, it was a great video too.
Oh, thanks, man. Yeah, it was just one of those days where just like everything kind of worked out. I kept my head straight and, you know, stayed positive and was able to use my drop shot and my Nico rig to the fullest, and a 6-pound test, like they said. And it was just fun, dude. It was a good day. Solid. This is my second kind of big win out here, and second big win in general. And it's just interesting at the end of a day when you win, it's like you have no regret, really. Like there's no, like you're not wishing you did something or anything like that. Like it feels so good to get over that hump when it happens and kind of come into the ramp knowing that, you know, that you did everything you could and you did well and you took home a win. And it just feels good, man. I love it.
Oh, man, I guarantee you, dude. I'm sure it's one of the most addictive feelings you know, as far as in our sport for sure. But, you know, real quick though, Dan mentioned the video. Where can everybody check out your footage and your recaps and stuff, man?
Yeah, so I have a YouTube channel. It's Bass Zones Fishing on YouTube. And I wish I could pump out some more content, but right now I'm just kind of vlogging my tournaments. Mostly for like just memories, man. I love looking back, whether it's a 15th place finish or a first place finish. I love looking back on the weekend and seeing, you know, some things I kind of learn a lot from watching myself. I know it's kind of weird, but I do. I learn things as I'm watching myself. So it's fun, man.
I wish the whole vlog thing hadn't, because vlogs used to be like the thing before people really started taking YouTube and full video content real seriously. I vlog basically every time I do any kind of fishing trip. Beat it. But I can hear that noise. That's hilarious. But yeah, I vlog like before and after every trip, you know, fun fishing, tournament fishing or anything. And I do the same thing that Shane's talking about. It's like you go back, because I'll talk about the weather and talk about how the tournament went, just all that stuff. So it is. It's, you know, some guys make fishing notes. Vlogging's kind of my notes. So I completely get that.
Yeah. And like I know like we've had this, you know, kind of, I don't know, like big elephant in the room on the West Coast, you know, what's going to happen moving forward. And this is Paddle and Fin. You guys, I love you guys. And I think I'm going to drop it because it's on Paddle and Fin. So everyone that listens to us normally is just going to get a little bit right now, but I don't be surprised next year. And I'm not going to say the series yet because I can't go there yet, but Hobie or Bass is coming to the West Coast next year. I'm gonna say that, okay? I'm gonna drop that little nugget right there. So
Nuggy.
We're gonna have a shot with one of those series. I'm not gonna say which series yet, but I have heard from a pretty reliable source that they're coming out here next year at least once. So like I said, it's gonna take a lot of us to kinda, you know, rally together and show up. And I know I just said this before and I'm kind of contradicting myself, but we got to show up, and whether it's a motorized kayak or not, if we want these big series out here, we got to show up to them. So,
yeah,
and I think even if we don't have a shot at AOI in Bass or Hobie, I want to win the trophies. I want to win the blue trophy and I want to win the Hobie trophy. So like there's trophies to be won. That's what I tell a lot of guys that fish the KBF stuff too. Like, besides the whole AOI chases and all that stuff, the trophies and the hardware at all these national events are so awesome to have. Yeah. You know, like if I was hard nosed and I didn't sign up for KBF, I would have never won that Trail Series trophy, dude. And that's like a super awesome trophy to have in my garage right now. Like, I think the hardware says a lot, you know, compared to the points and all that stuff. So
no, and that's the, you know, for a lot of us, like we like the competitive edge and we like the big tournaments and the chance to win a big check. But like for me, even if I was good enough to have a standing chance at top 5 or 10 at every one of these national events, I don't have the time for it. Like there is nothing I could do to be able to care enough about AOI to run for it. I just don't have the time or ability to commit to that. And that's what I was going to say. If, you know, we're getting this little nugget of info right now. So for anybody listening, like maybe once that all comes out, maybe this is an event that some of us, not West Coast people, like he's saying, it's destination lakes. Let's say it hits Clear Lake. Like make that your one big travel event for the year. Everybody like let the East Coast go invade the West Coast for an event in Cali. That'd be cool. Yep. East versus West showdown. We'd get our ass kicked, but we'd try. I don't know. We got Russ. Russ is a former Cali guy.
I remember Russ. Russ is a hell of a stick. He was one of those fishing guys alongside Matt Allen too.
Yeah.
He's a stick. He's a stick over on the Deltas, especially on those Stripers as well.
Yeah, he's a stick just about everywhere. And he's super humble, which it's awesome. It's just not expected. You know, most of those guys,
who?
You would do.
Who are you guys talking about?
Russ Snyder.
Russ Snyder.
Who's that?
All right, Shane.
I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. No, I got a quick thing about that, because when Bassmaster came out a couple years ago or 3 years ago on their first series, and we all saw Russ sign up. We're like, man, Russ is going to be rusty out here. He ain't going to know Clear Lake like he used to. We're going to, you know, the West Coast boys are going to lay the smack down on old Russ. And man, oh man, did he prove us wrong.
I thought it was crazy that he came back out there and
triple digits.
Yeah. He just wanted to let y'all know he's still there.
He's like, definitely still here. And Russ, you know, I love you, bro. You know, mad respect.
I traded him for a couple of chatterbaits, so I got the juice now. Russ's homemade chatterbaits.
Yeah. I still, one of my favorite bed fishing baits is a bait that he gave me to give him the old smack in the chin, man. Yeah. I remember when he handed it to me, I was like, there is no way that this is what I should be using. He's like, I promise. And he's right. When they get stubborn, that's what I toss. But
all right, well, Tim. Well, day one winner. Tell us about your event, man. Day one, two, the whole deal.
Hey, Dan, really quick. Jimmy, yeah. I'm gonna hop out of here.
See you, man.
Sorry, guys.
All right. No, man. We appreciate you hopping on, dude.
Love you guys. Yep. Okay. See you guys.
See you later, Shane.
Yeah. Well, day one for me went pretty good. I'd
say so.
Oh, what's that?
I said I'd say so. You won.
Yeah, I was able to go out the day before and kind of scout and mess around and see what was going on out there. I heard the water. I hadn't fished it in a while, although I lived fairly close. I heard the water drop, so I wanted to go out there and see it. I saw a few things on my fish finder. I saw some fired up fish. You know, I didn't really drop down on anything. I didn't want to disturb. You know, I pretty much had my pattern. I just had to go scout it and check it out. And it held. I saw a lot of fired up fish early, and in one spot, actually, and that was obviously my starting spot, and I was able to get into a lot of fish early, and I was fishing the trees and the brush, and I was able to hook up a lot, brought three or four fish to the boat quick, and started off with a lot of confidence, and was able to go to a secondary after the sun came out and my spot got all blown out and the bait left, and I was able to go to my secondary spots, and those prevailed. They did pretty good for me. And
do you mostly want a drop shot, right? If you're going down to trees,
yeah, straight vertical. Yeah, I was fishing those vertical.
Do you have a go-to drop shot bait?
I do.
Mind Sharon?
What's that?
Mind Sharon?
A 7-inch Robo.
Okay, okay.
I have a particular caller that I mentioned it on another show a couple nights ago, and all my buddies and everybody's giving me a hard time for it, but, you know.
You can just send it to me in the comments later. It's cool.
Yeah. So I think everybody already knows, but yeah.
Dude, the Robo is just so hard to beat on a drop shot. I've tried so many drop shot baits, and they just don't compare. And maybe I'm biased on that, but, like, my go-to color is very popular down here, Aaron Martin's Morning Dawn.
Oh, yeah, that's a great color.
Like, I've got probably $60-$80 worth of drop shot baits back here of other brands and stuff, and they do not work anywhere comparable.
Yeah.
But I would be curious just to know what color you're throwing, because there are so many colors.
No, I was throwing a red crawler that particular day. That's the best thing about Robo worms. They make a color for just about any way you want to mimic, you know. So it's a great bait. You want to mimic, you know. You're fishing late in the evening, you know, you want to go with darker baits, they make plenty of them. You know, you want to match a crawdad, or you want to match this or that. They have like 60 something different colors, right? In the 7-inch. You can always find something to match, you know, what they're eating, what they're feeding, and, you know, to really match how you're going to work it.
I usually use a 6-inch. Why do you go 7? Just looking for a bigger bite?
I tend to get bigger fish, you know, which there's probably no truth to that, right? Because my buddy can bring 4.5 inches out there, and we can match fish for fish with my 7 inches all day. It's just a confidence thing, I guess. I really do think maybe in the course of a day, you might get 2 or 3 strikes that might be a little bit bigger, that might be a little more enticing to the bigger fish, you know. Use big baits, use bigger baits and slow them down, you know, can get you a, you know, bigger fish at times, you know. So
our lesson here, gentlemen, and for all gentlemen that are listening, is whether it's 4 inches or 7 inches, they both do the same job.
Yes.
Take it how you want to.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They get you to where you want to be.
That's right.
It doesn't matter.
And it, you, I'm a 40 I mean, you want
fish type guy.
Oh, I love this.
I don't
throw
so seven.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't throw seven. On a good day, I'll throw maybe a 5 or 6 inch.
I throw a six or a like the KVD. Well, the Strike King Dream Shot. That's kind of the two I use, and that's probably only 4.5. So 4 and 6 inches are kind of my two go tos too.
The only thing, when I used to try a lot of the...
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Like sizes and colors and stuff, the only thing I could ever figure out between the 4.5 and the 6.5, I always seem to do better on the 6.5 in the winter, like compared. Like in the summer, I could use both, but in the winter, the 6.5 just seemed to work better than the 4.5.
Yeah,
don't know if there's any truth to that at all, but for me, that's what I saw.
I think sometimes, you know, another thing with the 7-inch worm too is like when you're fishing like the dog days of summer and you're on Clear Lake, and you're really not, you know, fishing somewhere. You know, you've got the drop shot or something going. You can always just take it and bite 2 inches off of it, throw it on the hook and drop it down.
Bound
you know, point. Just to make it more, because sometimes, you know, that smaller, especially in the dog days of summer where the fish are lethargic, definitely give yourself a chance with the smaller worms. But for the most part of the year, I always go big and then I'll work down. I never start small and work up. So that's where the 7-inch comes from.
Here's a, just because we're on it and I love throwing the drop shot, here's a quick one. Have you ever thrown the wacky shot at all?
I have. That?
That's something I've recently learned. That's definitely like fun to throw. Like I don't know why I'd never tried it.
Wacky shots with thin Senkos. Yeah, they're with the smaller, thinner Senkos.
I've done it with a Robo Worm.
Oh, okay.
Like where the thick spot is, like a third of the way down, I wacky it right there, and it's worked. I was kind of blown away. Yeah. It was just I had one get torn up and was like, man, why not? I've heard people talk about doing this and it worked. And I was like, oh, well, I had to keep that in mind.
I remember there was this one kid I fished a Sonoma Belly Boat Bass Club with in 2007. He would always fish Clear Lake, at least have 2 or 3 events there. And he would drop shot everything. A brush hog, a creature bait.
Oh, yeah.
A Senko. You name it, everything you could think of, anything plastic, he would drop shot and he would work and he would catch big fish on it.
Flutes, would drop shot a freaking like 8-inch mag draft or something like that.
Okay. Yeah. Guys,
wacky rig.
Power there shot. You go. Yeah. Wacky rig, big 9-inch bait. Just.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Well,
here, I'll go over the numbers. I mean, Tim, you won day one. You still had a great day two. So Tim, you had 88.25 day one. Dominic, day one, you had 88. So you got them by a quarter inch.
Of an inch.
Yeah, and then day two, it swapped. Tim, Shane got first. Dominic, you had third with 86. Tim, you were in fourth with 85.5. And then, so for the pro series, Dominic, you won with 174. Tim, you had 173.25. Got you by a quarter inch. And then,
yeah.
And then Shane, another quarter down at 172.5 with third. So yeah, I mean, y'all both had great days, you know. So
yeah.
Some more of the same on day two.
Yeah, it was more of the same. Like I said, I found a spot the first day, and of course I headed straight there the second day. It wasn't really a cove. It was kind of this little crevice in the rocks that had this drop-off in between these two trees. And I went out there the second day hoping it was going to hold. So, and there was there was nobody home. There was nothing there. So I had a good secondary bite fishing around 20 feet of water. So I just, you know, I just stuck to that and just, you know, just tried to just hammer it that way, you know, and I stuck to it. I knew I was going to catch fish, you know, and if the 88 inches held the next day, I knew, man, if I can just siphon fish, just get them to the boat, get them to the boat. I thought maybe because this bite was pretty good, I thought I'd catch enough fish that at the end of the day that I would almost be able to match my inch total. You know, from the day before, in the back of my mind, I thought, don't change nothing. Don't do anything stupid. Don't, you know, just don't, you know, it's right there in front of you. You found it. Now just go out there and just try to beat these guys to death with it. And that was my plan the second day.
And what kind of kayak are you in?
I'm in a Hobie PA-12.
Nice. With 180 XI, or 360?
360.
Okay. With the XI. All right.
Yeah. With the XI. I just got LiveScope getting it installed here.
Wow. Big money.
I was going to say, like, I'm like wondering how he's getting so detailed.
Don't do it. Don't do it, yeah. Dude.
How is he getting all detailed? And there's a crevice and these rocks and these trees are here. That's how he's doing it. He's using all this fanciness and LiveScope. And he's like, that's how
I'm No, never had a chance to use LiveScope. So
wow.
Going to get on the boat pretty soon. I know Dominic gets out there and kicks pretty good butt with his life scope. So I'm like, man, I'm going to have to keep up with Dominic one way or the other.
Well, look at it this way.
Too good of a fisherman, right, to have that advantage over me. So
yeah, look at it this way. You only lost by a quarter of an inch without it. So I think you can gap him now. You know, get it figured out.
Yeah. That's what I'm hoping. This thing's like $3,000. I'm hoping it gets an extra half an inch, right? That's all I'm asking.
You won't regret it. Trust me.
I feel like for anybody that can't figure it out bass fishing, just keep the thing and use it and go crappie fishing.
Yeah.
Go fish for food. Seriously, like you could catch some big ones. And there is no science to some of these things. Like the things that I tell you this year that I learned with LiveScope, you won't even imagine. I mean, I stuck almost a 9.5 using it, and it was out suspending in 60 feet of water, just suspending out of middle of nowhere, just chilling.
That's something that we've gotten into a little bit is that with all the new LiveScope technology, there's a lot of biologists that are doing studies and stuff using it that are realizing that fish are not where they always have thought they go.
Exactly.
You know, they're like the example the guy told me, he was like, you know, we used to see them, you'd see them on a hump suspended 7 feet down. He was like, and then they'd move off and we think they go down and they move away, blah, blah, blah. He was like, using LiveScope, we found that they're still at 7 feet. They just move 100 yards away from the hump. They're just suspended, like you said, over nothing, which is changing how they understand what their behaviors are. Yep. And like, it's a definite tool. And like one of the cool videos that I've seen on it, John B, the Guggen Squad guy, he stuck a 14 on LiveScope. Like, rotated, was like, oh my god, that's a big one. Watched it pick his A rig, and boom, you know, personal best fish you probably won't ever beat. Like, it's ridiculous.
And I tell you what, any of you guys, you pack your bags, you get LiveScope, and you drive down to Texas, which none of those Texas guys want us to do, but. If you want a PB, if you want a personal best, you go out there with LiveScope and you'll get it. Guaranteed. There's a high probability. But, you know, like our lakes are not like it was before when they planted trout. So that 9.5 pounder, that was 25.75 inches.
Yeah.
And I felt like I was robbed. If they planted trout in there, I mean, I felt like that would have easily been
11, 12 pounds easily.
It's always blown my mind, you know, with the kayak thing. Like, we see someone hold a 14 and it could still only be 25 inches. And it's like, once they hit the 9 pound range, they stop getting longer and they just get taller.
Yeah. And
it's, but I think you're right though. 25 and 3/4. I feel like that should be like a minimum, like an 11, you know, like,
yeah.
Well, so, Dominic, get into your day one and two, man. We want to hear your end of the story.
So day one, I found this cove that was just loaded with bass, loaded. And, you know, Tim buying live scope, I've convinced many people buying live scope, and it is a game changer, definitely. I could see every single brush pile down there in submerged tree, and every single one of my fish on day one was caught on live scope. And I would see them get so angry and territorial every time I dropped down on them with a drop shot, four and a half inch robo worm ox blood red flake. Literally pitch it 20 or 30 feet right in front of me. I see it sink down, and I'm rotating my fishing specialties pull to find my bait. And trust me, you have to train your eyes to really find the drop shot weight. Or that 2.8 Kitech, you just got to train your eyes at all times. Like, you can't just take a break from live scope and then expect to jump back on it and then just be able to see your bait that often. But I tell you what, I had about 79.5 inches in the first half an hour of the tournament. And I've seen every single one of those fish get charged up and pissed and race over to my robo worm and eat it. And all I had to do is literally hold on to it. I was just like, okay, he's coming for it. He's coming for it. Come for it. Reel up the slack. And I'm like, okay, he has it. And literally five fish in the first half an hour, I take off. I was just like, I need these fish for day two. Take off. I went to this not secondary point. I went to this main lake point that was slow tapering, and I stuck a couple of 17 and 18s during practice on it that they would just suspend on these brush piles in about 25 to 30 feet. And there was a lot of bluegill there for them to eat. So, you know, during their window of time, there's fish move up and suspend in about 5 to 10 feet of water in 30. And every single drop, like, what I would do is I park my kayak in about 15 feet of water, 10 feet of water, and I would stick my live scope and face it towards 30 feet of water. And I would act as if it was like a side scan. So I would go down the bank, and then right when I marked one, I would pause the boat, rotate my boat towards that mark, line it up with the fishing specialty pole, and then I would hit spot lock, take one good cast about 40, 50 feet away, and I see my bait drop, and I see that mark just go, whoop, just chase after that Kitech, and I wouldn't even have to work it. I literally cast, see my bait drop, click over the bell, and then start reeling because the fish would be on instantly. Those fish have never seen a bait in its life.
This is one of the best, like, live scope kayak stories I've actually heard. Oh, yeah. Like, this is awesome.
Yeah. So, hey.
And so that bait's dropping, and these fish are spending in 30 feet of water in about 5 or 10 feet. And they're just sucking down these kayaks. I'm not swimming it. I'm not shaking it. I'm just letting it fall, almost like a Senko. And it's like a dying shad, a 2.8 Kitech, and it's coming down. And the color that I used was electric shad. And
that's my color.
Everybody uses that color. It's
that's my color.
It's just something about that color. They just eat it without a doubt. Like today, I sacked about 92 inches today doing the same exact thing. But so that was day one. I ended up with 88 inches. Tim got me by 1/4 inch. I was super bummed out.
Yeah, you got him back, though.
Yeah.
Short lived.
Day two, I went to the same deal, but you know what? I abandoned the drop shot. They didn't want to eat the drop shot. I think I wore them down with it. So I picked up my kite and once again, like about 50 feet off the bank, I see a fish suspending about 3 feet of water, less than 5 feet of water. And I cast my kayak there, and then I get an 18-inch right off the bat. And at that point, I was just like, okay, I'm doing this all day long. And then I went to my second point, that slow tapering point, Main Lake Point, and I was doing the same exact thing. I broke off a couple. I lost my tantrum. I fell in the water.
Oh.
You're what?
Yeah.
He fell in.
I fell in. I broke off like easily an 18 or 19 incher that would have definitely helped my bag out. And then it snapped off because we have some quagga mussels over here. And then I lost my tantrum. I lost my balance while I was standing up in my kayak and I tripped over my seat and fell in.
Nice. Was this like mid tantrum?
Yeah. A for real. Oh, a for man. Real. Yeah.
You really got that just that. Makes that tantrum worse too.
I like it.
So the PFD, like I was wearing an auto PFD and it was squishing my face the whole entire time and I only had three fish. Yeah. You know, I could have like made it.
You come into the ramp all puffed up.
Yeah. Exactly.
Sorry.
I had two fish to go. I had three fish in the well and I only needed two more. So I hunkered down. I had this PFD all on my face, and I have a short neck already. So having that blown up PFD kind of made my neck look non-existent pretty much. So I was just continuing to work that pattern, you know, and suspended bass and just throwing that kitech, and I managed to catch every single one of those bass I was suspending in my secondary point. And then secondary spot. And then I went back to the cove because there's no bass boats back there. There was one following me the whole time, which was pretty annoying. But, you know, that's a given. Anywhere you go, there's going to be someone following you. But I finally found I was able to work the back end of the cove. There was always a boat sitting in the back of it. And that frustrated me, but you know, at that ditch, I still caught all my fish, but I really wanted to check out what was going on in the back. Well, there was huge chunk rock in the back there, and it made this sort of ledge that just would drop to like, I believe from 10 feet all the way down to 30. And there was bass hanging out right at the bottom of the ledge. So I just took my kitech and let that thing fall right bottom of that ledge, and then that's how I culled I think a 16.25 or a 16.5, and that's how I beat Tim the last 45 minutes with a quarter of an inch. Yeah,
that's awesome though.
Like, F that ledge, man.
F that ledge. Yeah. That's awesome.
You know, but Tim is hell of a stick. When I was looking at the leaderboard, I was looking for, like, what do I need a coal? Because we were tied up till the very last 40 minutes. We were tied up. And I knew he had me beat because he had two 19-inch bass that beat my big fish. So I was like, oh, my gosh, this is going to come down to the end. You know what? I'm just going to fish my butt off. And if Tim beats me once again, I'm just going to, you know, he's a good guy and he's hell of a stick. I don't mind him winning at all. You know, I'll take another top three. The whole entire time, I thought Tim culled one out because I believe he had like a 15 inch in his bag. And I was just like, oh, there's no way I could win this. Tim got it.
Yeah. I found fish. I found 14.5. So
yeah,
couldn't cull up.
Yeah.
Dominic, have you ever been told your voice sounds just like Chris Saldane's?
He does, doesn't he?
Y'all have the same voice.
Me?
Whose voice?
No, Dominic.
No, Dominic.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, Chris Saldane?
Yeah, you sound just like Saldane.
Saldane was, I actually grew up in a similar town that he lives in. He used to work in the Silicon Valley area. in the Bay Area, and I went to high school around that area. So
that's crazy. Yeah.
Just the same, you know, because we're from the South, so the same intonation, yeah, and it's the same. So
yeah.
No, I was thinking that earlier. It's funny that you said something. I was like, this dude really does sound like Zeldane. Like,
well, hopefully I can go against that guy someday. I hope so, man. That would be
awesome. He's one of those I'd like to see in a kayak.
Yeah.
I'd like to see. I just like all these really good anglers in the boat world right now. I just like to, I'd like them all to give it a shot one time just so we get a little more respect that way, you know?
I want to see Dustin Connell in a kayak.
I'm trying. So, I've messaged him a few times. He's given me some really good information on Logan Martin Lake because he's the Coosa River King.
Yeah.
And, we've messaged quite a few times, and every time I ended, I'm like, hey, if you get a free weekend, you can leave the cameras at home, all the GoPro crap. You ain't got to tell nobody. I'm not looking for any kind of promotion, but I'm going to bring a couple of kayaks and I want to see what you can do with it. And you're going to bring Jacob Wheeler with you. And he always just kind of ha ha ha. But I'm like, I'm going to bug him enough till one of these days, I'm going to get one of the two of them or both of them to commit to it.
That'd be awesome. I want
to
see.
It sucked. I went to college. Whenever I went back to college a few years ago, and I had to fish against him and Jordan and Matt. And I mean, yeah. Our school was usually ranked higher than theirs, but yeah.
Look who's making all that real money on the bass. Well, yeah. I say real money on the bass world. Yeah.
Was it tough? Was he always in the top three?
Yeah, but all three of those, that they were always good. Yeah.
The Lee brothers have always been dangerous, no matter what. You're seeing more and more of these guys. Like the guy that just won, Jesse Wiggins, he's another Alabama hammer, just won an MLF event. And he's still a terror for the locals. Like he just got back in town and he fished a Tuesday nighter and beat the piss out of everybody on a Monday nighter. I'm sorry. Like some of these guys just don't get enough of it on the pro side. They still, like Dustin Connell does the same thing. He still fishes locals.
Yeah.
I mean, used to live in Clanton, the town he lives in, and I see him in Academy here up in Hoover sometimes, yeah.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
I mean, I was going to skip this club tournament that Tim wanted me to join last minute. So I was just like, man, I feel kind of bad. I just won the pro series off the same lake. Tim won the first trail off of that lake. And now he's inviting me back to the same exact lake, San Vicente.
Because he needs to freaking, he needs to like revamp himself. He needs to get a quarter inch back.
He's trying to make a part three.
Yeah.
He's
unfinished business. Unfinished business out there. Oh yeah,
I love it.
Well, we'll have to follow up. We'll have to follow up next week with a.
Yeah, I'm gonna look it up.
How y'all did this weekend?
Yeah.
Sure.
You can find our battle on my YouTube channel. You know.
You have a great YouTube channel too, man.
Huh?
Yeah, I'm a subscriber. Whenever he said we were having you on, I didn't even realize who you were. I'm a subscriber to your channel.
Hey, thanks, bud. I appreciate it. Daniel Perry Fishing. All right. You guys both have a YouTube channel, or
I don't even use mine. I'm a terrible on the social media lately.
I'm up to 153 subscribers, so I'm really
a big deal.
Dude, nice. I'm
working my way up.
Yeah, it'll be 154.
It all starts with
154 after this.
Yeah,
155. I'll find you.
Yeah, you can go 155. Yeah,
viral.
156, because I don't know if I even follow you, Bubba.
I really hope that Tim and I can go visit you guys and we can do a 2v2. That would make for a good content right there.
Hey, come out to Gunnersville, and me and Dan,
anytime you want to come,
for sure. Right. I got beds. My wife's a good cook. He's got beds. Got a camper. We can hook
you
up.
I'm gonna hook it to you guys,
dude. I'm 100%.
He's closer than me. I'm 2 hours from Gunnersville. He's closer than me.
I'm like 45 minutes. Dude, I'm telling you, I'll pick you up from the airport, dude. I can find you a kayak. Like,
Does it have live scope?
I'm not giving you that. You're going to have to kick it old school.
A motor guide XI3.
Just I can ditch you the motor, but you're not getting the live scope. I may not even give you a graph. Like, yeah. you're going to rough it.
The man runs a shop team. He can get you whatever you want.
Yeah, Tim and I will find a way to get out there to visit you guys. I for sure want to visit you guys.
Oh, yeah.
No, dude. Open invitation, man. Anytime y'all want to, just keep us in the friends list and hit me up. If we can plan it out. I've got – actually, this year, I think we're going to have a bunch of visitors coming in. I got guys coming in from Ohio to fish Gunnersville. I think I've got a couple from coming in from Illinois, dude. It's open anytime anybody wants to come hang out. Can't guarantee the fishing will be any good, but I know right now – Gunnersville's on fire, so maybe this is going to be a really good year. We've had some ups and downs. I think Gunnersville's going to. It's not like I'm not seeing lots of giants, but the average fish quality is fantastic right now. So and all the fish are looking really healthy. So
awesome.
We'll be out there.
Heck yeah. Well, we appreciate y'all coming on for sure. And just because you mentioned it, this is the part of the show that before we close out, we like to give everybody a chance to shout out their sponsors and any of your social media stuff. So, Tim, you took day one. Why don't you start?
You know what? I'd just like to thank my wife, my family, and allow me the time and the encouragement to go out and do this. You know, I don't really have the sponsor thing.
Hey, we share this up tomorrow. We'll work on that.
What's on your hat, man?
It's a little fryer. It's a Padre hat.
Oh, okay.
That's fine. Yeah.
Go Padre.
So, Padre hat.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Is that the friendly hat? The no threat hat.
Yeah. Is that like a fryer?
Yeah. The Padres, they use the fryer as their little emblem.
Okay. Yeah. I've never seen that. Sox, though. You know.
Go that. Braves.
Dominic, how about you, man? Braves.
Mortar Guide. Definitely want to give a shout out to them. To be 100% honest with you, I'm just like Tim. I'm pretty much self funded. I got to thank Shane, especially for giving me a hell of a deal for his boat. I could never ever buy a boat like that with the price that he sold it to me for. So appreciate him. There's one thing that skyrocketed my fishing, and that's pretty much my girlfriend. Like, and sooner or later, I'm going to have to propose to her, but,
hold out as long as you can.
She is the reason why I got back into fishing, and there's no other way to put it. Like, she sends good vibes to me all the time, and she allows me to fish and have this selfish hobby of mine, and she just gives me more positive vibes in my life, you know what I mean? So
the best anglers always have the best support system. So
I believe that.
Yeah, I have a great support system, and I still suck, so I don't know what truth there is to that.
That's my greatest sponsor, is my girlfriend.
Awesome.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, shout out your YouTube and any of your other socials.
Oh, yeah. So my YouTube channel is Double Digit Angler. You can find me on YouTube. I deliver tournament content as well as, any knowledge that I learn on the water. As well as entertainment, like one versus one content or two versus two and et cetera. And then my IG is double_digit_angler. You can find me on there, and Facebook, you can find me under my full name.
Yep. Awesome. Well, heck yeah. Well, again, man, we appreciate y'all having this. It's been a great show. I love getting to talk to you guys, and Hope we all get to catch up, whether y'all come down here or we come out there, because I know I'm going to be out there before too much longer. I don't know if I'll be in SoCal, but who knows? I may just make a couple weeks out there in Cali and just try to hit all of it.
I don't know if I'm going to get fish. I just want to go to Yosemite again.
Well, see, that's the thing I'm running into is, like, if I go out there, I want to fish. but there's so much other stuff I want to see and do while I'm on that side of the country that it's like, I don't know how I would. Because if I get on the water first, that's the end of it. That there, I won't see anything else. Like, I'll be like, no, we're fishing the whole week, whole 2 weeks, whatever. So, but
you see, here in Alabama, there's nothing better than the fishing. Out there, y'all got so much awesome stuff to do and fishing. Yeah.
I mean, the coolest thing we get going nowadays is we're getting these cool new gas stations. You know, we're getting Buc-ee's all over the place. Like, woo! Exciting. That's awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Is it well, we appreciate y'all.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Y'all be
thank
good. Thank you for being on.
Yeah, we'll see you next time.
Good luck this weekend.
Alrighty. Have a good one. All right. Later, guys.
All right, there we go.
All right.
Buc-ee's. I'll say about Buc-ee's, I freaking love Buc-ee's. But whoever designed the flow and the traffic of that place should be fired. That's amazing. What I've heard. Oh, dude. As long as you go before it's busy and the club Chipotle sandwich will change your life. And some salt and pepper Buc-ee chips and some beaver nuggets. And they have like their own Texas sweet tea. Their coffee is great because they have like all the good creamers. Yeah.
Buc-ee's so they're building one like maybe 10 minutes from my house. And I'm so excited. Because it being close, I don't think I'll have to worry about the busy times because I can just kind of go whenever. Because like one of my buddies that goes out of Texas all the time was like, dude, you got to hit the beef jerky wall up. Like they have a whole beef jerky area. And I was like, hell yeah, because I'm a beef jerky freak. Not as much. I started making my own. So
I had some and it molded really quick.
It didn't stay in the dehydrator too long enough. Had too much moisture in it. I've had that problem.
Yeah. But Buc-ee's is great as long as you go early. Or late, I guess.
All right. So, well, we're hitting that part of the show real quick. We don't have too many. We're going to go over some tournament results from last week. So we're going to start it off real quick. Iowa Kayak Anglers were on Lost Grove Lake. 31 anglers. First place, Joe Bailey, 74 and a quarter. Second place, Austin Rands, 73 and a half. Third place, Levi Thompson with 73. Next up, the Bluegrass Kayak Anglers were on Lake Cumberland. 56 anglers. First place was Jeffrey Stewart with 91 and three quarters. Second place was Jay Wallen with 87 and three quarters. And third place was Tyler Fry with 86 and a half.
And welcome back, Bluegrass, just because they were a club for a long time and then they went away. And now a couple of guys there, Jay and Kyler and some other guys, put it back together. So congrats to them for bringing a trail back. That's awesome.
Heck yeah. Next up, that Slay Nation New York event on Cayuga Lake. 50 anglers. First place, Josh Brewer with 97 and three quarter. Second place, Nick Audi with 97 and a quarter. Third place, Bruce Rotenberg with 93 and three quarters. Next up, the Kayak Anglers of Northeast Ohio are on the Portage Lakes. 39 anglers. First place, Adam Coleman with 58 and a quarter. Three fish limit. Second place, Bob Hammond with 56 and three quarter. Third place, Joe McCall with 54 and a half. Next up, one down here a little closer to us was the TVKA and CTKA combo event on Lake Chickamauga in Tennessee. 47 anglers, first place, Jonathan Kalbaugh with 55 and three quarter. That's again another three fish limit tournament. Second place, Joby Berry with 55 and three quarter. It was a tie for the win, broke by Big Fish. Third place, Matthew McDonough with 55 and a half. Next up, the West Virginia Kayak Anglers are on Summersville. 52 anglers. First place, Mark Edwards with 77 inches, and that's a five fish limit. Whew.
The goat whisperer.
Second place, Brian Kennedy with 75. Third place, Jeff Sisk with 75 as well. Next up, Southern Illinois Kayak Club, Saint Chris Lake, 32 anglers. 32 anglers. First place, Austin Weed Hunter, maybe 89 and a half. Second place, Darren Hempker with 87 and a quarter. Third place, Dustin Siegel with 85 and a half. And then last on the list, Central States Kayak Series on Lake Wanahoo, Nebraska. Wanahoo. Yeah, that's what I'm going with because it says Wanahoo, Wahoo, Nebraska. Wahoo! 43 anglers, 5 fish limit. First place, Chung Pham with 82 and 3 quarters. Second place, Timothy Parker with 82 and a quarter. And third place, Chris Lucas with 76 and a quarter. And a note was there were 43 anglers and only 57 fish caught. So another tough one. But that's about it.
Usually, like, surprisingly good, too.
Right.
I feel it's still cold there.
Yeah. Well, it's like the climate's just all wacky all over the country, man. Like, it's just getting good in some areas. We're post-spawned out in areas that normally are just now getting good. It's kind of crazy. Yeah. But that's it for us this week, folks. We appreciate everybody tuning in. Be sure to give our guys a follow. Everybody that joined us tonight, give us a follow. Give Paddle and Finn some love. Make sure you're keeping up with your fantasy stuff. You know, give your wife some love, give your husband some love. Hell, I don't know what else. And my mouse just died right before I could do this. So we're switching mics real quick here. Hold on.
Oh, I got it.
You got it. There we go. Sorry. Peace, everybody. We'll see you next week.
See y'all.
Thanks for tuning in to another killer episode here on Paddle and Fin. Be sure to drop a 5-star rating, a thumbs up, or smash that subscribe button on any platform you're listening in on. Be sure to check us out on Waypoint TV, waypointtv.com. Make sure you sign up for the Fantasy Kayak Fishing League at paddleandfin.com/fantasy. You could support this show through Patreon, patreon.com/paddleandfin. Don't forget to check out the website, paddleandfin.com. Catch us on YouTube. If you got a question, comment, or want to see a future guest on the show, be sure to email us at paddleandfin@gmail.com. Shout out to our show supporters, Yak Gadget. You can check out all the fine kayak accessories at yakgadget.com. Pelican Professional. For all your cases, coolers, and lighting needs, go to pelican.com. Rocktown Adventures. Your Midwest premier paddle sports destination, go to rocktownadventures.com. Eastport Marina, the beautiful destination on Dale Hollow Lake. If you're looking for lodging, kayaks, kayak accessories, or anything fishing related on the beautiful Dale Hollow Lake, go to eastport.info. And Jigmasters Jigs, when in doubt, get the jig out. Go to jigmasters.com and fill your tackle boxes today.
I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. If you haven't already, download the free Waypoint TV app to listen to our podcast and watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents anywhere, anytime, and on any device. I'm Will Cooper, host of Hunt Stand's Make Your Mark podcast. For even more content, be sure to watch the original films from Hunt Stand Presents on the Waypoint TV channel every Tuesday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Visit waypointtv.com to learn more.